everybody. It is 9:30 Central Standard Time. It's not 8:30, it's 9:30. But I know it feels like 8:30, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
The Spirit of the Lord is everywhere. You can't go anywhere He's not. The whole earth is full of His glory. That means we're not asking God to come in here. He is already here. We're putting ourselves in the place of God. God was already here before we were. So let's put our spirit in His spirit and let's see, hallelujah, how full of God we can release into our spirit today. I declare in this atmosphere, depression, distress, and discouragement will not have a home. But I prophesy in this place, there will be joy, and there will be joy overflowing, hallelujah, like a river of living water, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's all just give God praise right now. Would you do that? Give Him hallelujah. Give Him praise. Let's glorify God.
Oh! Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good.
Here we go.
Hallelujah.
Deserve the glory. Tell them you deserve the glory. We love you, Jesus. We bless your name. Come on, every voice just lifted to his faithfulness. My hallelujah belongs to you. We worship you, Jesus. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you, Jesus. Woo! My hallelujah belongs to you. Just close your eyes and just love on Jesus.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
This is for you, Jesus.
You deserve it.
Say it again, you deserve it. Just give me one more time. Say hallelujah.
Just lift up your voice with hallelujahs.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Come on. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Hey! Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, there is power. There is power in the name.
We declare it in this place. There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
We lift your name higher than anything else. Cancer will not stand. Hallelujah. Depression will not stand. We lift up your name. You are Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
healing in the name of Jesus. Receive it to break every chain, break every chain, break every
voices, not any instruments. Declare that part right there, everybody. There's power, that wonder-working power.
There is power, power.
Come on, shout it out.
Wonder-working power.
There is power.
There is power, power. Wonder-working power.
There is power.
There is power, power. Wonder-working power.
There is power.
There is power.
Again, there's power.
There is power.
There is power. Power. Wonder-working power.
There is power.
There is power. Power. Wonder-working power.
There is power.
There is power. Power. Wonder-working power.
In His name.
In His name.
Hallelujahs. Come on, not just hallelujahs. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I always, it just kind of always seems to me that some of the best parts of intimate worship, to where there's just clarity and it seems like there's no obstacles between us and God, is really usually after the preaching and there's been some altar agreement, and sometimes there's only about, 20 or so people left in here. It just seems like the atmosphere is so clear for miracles. Seems to me that, we got the activities of the morning, and we all got them, to get here. And, of course, today is that hour factor. I don't know, if I'm able to visit the president, I'm going to see if he can make an executive order and change the time change to Friday night instead of Saturday night. I mean, that'll really help all of us, but so we got all those factors, we come in here. I mean, yesterday it was a little colder than what we expected it to be. Even the daffodils thought it was cold, so we come in here like this, and a lot of times, us all growing up in church or being around church somewhat, we got these expectations on, this set of agenda that we're doing, and I think it's all good. I don't want you to think I'm being negative. I understand all that. But the deal is, there is so much power in the name of Jesus. And it's almost like we recite it, without acknowledging the authority. What the deal is, it's the authority of the name of Jesus.
That's right.
See, when you activate that authority of that name, if you'll follow me on this, that's when your sickness has to shrivel and go. That's when depression, distress, and all these things have got to just move out of the way. Now, here's how this works, is the authority is always there.
Always, always.
Are you hearing me? Just say yes if you can hear me.
Yes.
The authority is always there. Now, the activation of the authority is upon you. And you do that by your faith. Now then, the one who delivers the authority is the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Exactly.
Are you hearing me on this? Say yes if you just heard me.
Yes.
So this is how the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost works. The authority is in the name of Jesus.
That's good.
Jesus led captivity captive. He got the keys from death, hell, and the grave. He delivered them to you. They are activated by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The secret. Are y'all hearing me on this? I'm going to give it to you just right up. So you need to get all this and write it down, seek it on this, move on this. The secret to miracles is the embracing of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So I kind of knew that. Well, if you knew that, why weren't you doing it?
Uh-oh.
I love you too. Here's the deal is the Holy Spirit is full in this room right now. We sing songs like, Come Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you're up there hovering and waiting. No, He's already here. He was in here. He was in you. He was in your car. He was in your closet. He's everywhere you've been. But there must be the embrace of Him.
That's right.
There must be the honor of Him.
Right.
And so many times what happens, we come like today, and again, we're going through our routines, or we're just trying to get away or to break out. So we have to stir the atmosphere. That's the reason I believe near the end, I mean, the atmosphere is so strong. I mean, anything happens. And so I kind of wish we'd start at the end and then go backwards. If we could just do that, you know, it's kind of like when you play golf. Sometimes if you've got two players, first guy hits, the next guy, second guy is always good. I just wish we would just get to the second guy.
Hallelujah.
You know, and so I just believe that He's here. I know that He's here. According to the Word of God, He is here. Say yes if you can hear me.
Yes.
And according to the Word of God, He is full in this place. There's not a little bit of God in here. There's full God in here. Amen. And if I understand that I'm redeemed and I'm a resurrected man, that I'm alive in God and God's alive in me, that means I am full of God. Everybody raise your hands right now. Come on, get them up. Say, I am full of God.
Full of God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
so what I want to do is I want to embrace that. You know, it's the reason it kind of gets me a little bit when I hear people say, I really liked that worship service.
Wow, come on.
And I understand what you're saying. And I there are things I enjoy more than others too. But God, did you like it? Holy Spirit, it's like this. Do you like it? So if the Holy Spirit is in this room, just like I'm looking at Patty, and I'm saying, Patty, you really look good today. I like all that stuff you got on you. You ought to do a QVC commercial. I mean, you got it all right? Does the Holy Spirit know I like Him? Does the Holy Spirit know I love Him? So we think that God is so random, and God is not random. He is revelation. He is here right now. So since I'm full of God, say, I'm full of God again.
I am full of God.
Now then say, I am full of healing.
I am full of healing.
Only 30% of you did that. Let's do that
Absolutely.
Again. Say, I'm full of God.
I am full of God.
Say, I'm full of healing.
I am full of healing.
You can't be full of God and not be full of healing.
I know you're right.
How many got that?
Yes,
All right? So you are not full of cancer.
My God, my God.
You are not full of fear. You are not full of depression. You are not full of discouragement. You are full of the Holy Spirit. And that is being released in you right now by the authority of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe we just ought to praise Him for a few minutes. Come on, we just ought to praise Him for a few minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, embrace the Holy Ghost. Embrace the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. See, that's just the other thing is the Holy Spirit is so here. He is so here. Let's handle Him like He's here. I'm going to ask everybody in the room just to close your eyes. I don't want us to be dependent upon a song or any kind of transition. Let's just open up for the Holy Ghost. Come on, just open up for Him. Just close your eyes. Come on, some of you, don't be afraid to step out by faith and maybe just begin to raise your hand. Begin to give Him your praise. Come on, begin to open up to Him right now. Holy Spirit, You are truly welcome in this place. We embrace You and Your movement, not the agenda of an organization. We are not here to make a presentation to a group of people.
That's right.
We're here to let You be God on earth. Hallelujah. Each of these people have gathered. They've got something on their spirit, upon their mind. And nothing is impossible with You. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let us not move so fast that we neglect You.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, may You move in us.
Hallelujah.
Somebody just tell Him, move in me now, Holy Spirit. Do that. Come on, just say it out loud. Move in me now, Holy Spirit.
Move in me now, Holy Spirit. Move.
Hallelujah. You sent Your word. And Your word is authority.
Yes, God. Yes,
hallelujah. So in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every foul spirit. We take authority over every distraction. We take authority over every spirit of infirmity. May Your power, may Your word, may Your name, may Your authority be greater than anything else. Hallelujah. In Your mighty name. In Your mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, just for a moment. Come on, just get a little louder in your praise. Come on, break out some barriers. Come on, break out a few barriers. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, break them out a little bit. Come on, don't get too big a hurry here. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory. We lift You high, Jesus, Jesus. We lift You high, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Come on, keep praising Him, come on. Come on, just your voices. Keep praising Him. Just for a moment. Just your voices.
So worthy, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus. You're glorious.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You're amazing, Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Bless Your name, God.
Hallelujah.
Bless Your name. Bless Your name.
Hallelujah.
There goes all my doubt. There goes all my pain. 'Cause on that day He rose again. Sin no longer stays. And there goes all my questioning. There goes all my fears. 'Cause on that day of reckoning, hope has reappeared. There goes all my doubt. There goes all my pain. 'Cause on that day He rose again.
I'd like to give you this. Can I keep those words up there? Last Sunday, it was only, I don't know, a few of us in here at the very end, and he began to give this. And this has been on me all week long. And I'd like for you to see these words for a moment, okay? Look at it. It says, there goes all my questioning. There goes all my fears. On that day of reckoning, hope has reappeared. Now look at this next line. Just keeps on going about my doubts. There goes all my doubts. Next lines. There goes all my doubts. There goes all my pain. Look at that. There goes all my pain. Everybody say this with me right now. Say it out loud. Read it with me. There goes all my doubts. There goes all my pain. Now then, since there's authority in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is here, and I am full of God. Are you hearing? I am full of God. I am full of healing. Today, just as he does this a few more moments, just let it all go. I mean, see it go from you. Prophesy it. Let it go. I mean, actually just go. Those of you that have pain in your bodies and pain in your spirits and broken hearts and you've been offended, all these things, just let it go. Say, there goes all my pain. Those of you that have been doing the wanderings, there goes all my doubts. There goes all my questions. Hallelujah. Can we do that right now? Come on, sing it. Just begin to sing it out and just let it go. Just let it go. Go ahead. Hallelujah.
There goes all my doubts.
Hallelujah.
There goes all my pain. Cause on that day he rose again. Sin no longer stands.
Come on, get this in your spirit. You're just saying right now, I could really use somebody just prayer support right now in my situation. I just want you very quickly, everybody open up your eyes and look around you. You say, I need prayer support. I just need the agreement of prayer. I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel, but I could use some prayer support for whatever the situation is. Raise your hand right now. Come on, just raise it up. Look around you. Come on, look around you. See a hand up near you. Quickly, get over there and put your hand on their shoulders. Come on, just move over there right there. Move over there right now. Sing it now, please. Come on, just move over there. Come on, begin to pray for them right now. Lift them up, lift them up.
Receive hope. Hope has reappeared. Your help is here. Hallelujah. Hope has reappeared.
There goes all my questioning.
There goes all my fears.
Oh, yes.
It's on that day of reckoning. Hope has reappeared. There goes all my questioning.
Declare for some of you who've been going through a situation that's seeming like it's been longer than what you feel like you can possibly endure. For those of you that have specifically been going through things that are physical of nature, I declare unto you right now, it's not a question if God is going to heal you. It's a reception of His promise is that you are healed. You are healed. Your questions are gone. Your fears are gone. Hope has been reappeared into you right now. Jesus Christ in you is your hope of glory. Hallelujah. Somebody declare with me, I am delivered. I am healed. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God fills me now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, there goes all my pain. My doubts. This is my healing. This is my resurrection. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, say it out loud. I am full of God. I am full of encouragement. I am full of joy. I am full of joy. I am full of joy. Hallelujah. I am full of the ability of God. Hallelujah. Quickly put your hand on the shoulder of somebody next to you. Do it now, please. Don't let it be awkward. Just do it now. Hallelujah. Whether you know them or not, Father, in the name of Jesus, that authority, that power, that is our conquering spirit. Hallelujah. We declare now that every chain is broken.
Now.
Every lock is smashed.
Now.
We will no longer live in entanglements. Where your spirit is, there is liberty. Not a little bit of liberty, but full liberty. Full redemption. Full freedom. Full deliverance. I pray that those that are dependent on something else, whatever the substance may be, whatever that it is, that right now full reliance is put upon you. And in the name of Jesus, by that authority, every mind right now is renewed. We will think your thoughts. Your thoughts will fill our thoughts. Your vocabulary, Holy Spirit, will fill our vocabulary. We will talk heaven language on earth. We will speak creative words of power. Hallelujah. Words that have life. Words that have healing. Words that have freedom. Words that have deliverance. In the name of Jesus, bodies be completely healed. Every physical body in this room be completely healed. Ears open up. Eyes line up. Hallelujah. Bodies function in the name of Jesus. Like those valley of dry bones, come together and function. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Feel His power right now. Let His presence completely saturate you right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. As you're loosing your hands, listen to me quickly. The little fella that was in the graveyard in the Word of God in the day of Jesus, he was in the graveyard. They would try to chain him up. And wouldn't it be terrible for your family to chain you up in the graveyard? I mean, that has signs all over it that the only thing we're waiting for you to do is die. And he was chained up in a graveyard, and he was naked. His own family left him there because they were afraid of him. He was demon-possessed. They left him there, chained up, naked, cutting himself. When Jesus came to him, the young man himself, never asked Jesus for anything. He didn't ask Jesus to heal him. He didn't ask Jesus to forgive him. But Jesus delivered him from the demons and cleaned him up. The people were so locked in to the way he had been that they were afraid of him. When he got cleaned up, they were afraid of him. The point is, I want to make here, is that he didn't ask Jesus for anything, and the Lord just took care of him. I want you to know the Lord knows what you have need of already, and he's just going to give it to you. Just because you're his child. Are you hearing me this? Just because he's your child, you're his child. He's just going to give it to you. Say, well, I've got to ask a certain way. He's just going to give it to you. How many hearing me on this? Why don't you raise your hand, because that's a sign of reception. It's a sign of faith. Come on, just raise it up and say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive it like you give it. I receive it in the way you intended for me to receive it. That's huge right there. Do that again. Say, I receive it in the way you intended for me to receive it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead, just praise Him for a few minutes. Go ahead, just praise Him for a few minutes. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, you're free to worship him now. Come on, you're free now. Go ahead, worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, there's an atmosphere of miracles here. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we declare that there's going to be a focus. I just pray that your Holy Spirit will help every mind to stay locked in on you, and that the authority, the preaching of the word will go forth. You will give the anointing and the authority to do supernatural things in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Jesus.
The mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You can be seated if you would like. Normally, Patty would come up here right now and would just make a welcome to everybody. And I want to go ahead and do that. And I want to do a couple of things. I've asked Ryan to preach today. And I just feel like pretty quickly here right now, the Word of God just needs to go forth. And I believe the Word of God accompanies with power. And I believe that when you release the Word in the atmosphere, then following that Word, here's what I'm going to ask the church begin to do. I'm going to ask the church begin to wait a little bit more in the altar time. And we'll help lead that. But just spend more time with Him there. Because there's so much that happens after that. So I want to give you that time to do today. So right now, here's what we do to welcome guests here. It's kind of a thing we do here at the Church Alive. And I realize that some are probably still coming in. But the Church Alive, we want to make all of our guests feel welcome. What's going to happen here in just a moment is going to be some people come to the front. They're going to have some homemade bread. And thank you to Lisa Lowry for always making that bread. It's just great stuff. And what they're going to do is they're going to walk through the auditorium. And as they do that, you get their attention. If you brought a guest, then you get their attention. You get that bread. Today is double bread day. Amen. So that means if you're a guest, you get double portion. Because God always overcompensates. He does exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. So today is the day that it's double calorie day. That means I'm prophesying over you, when you exercise, you will burn double. Come on, anybody receiving that right now, all right? So it's a double dip day, all right? So you get in on that, all right? And you'll take that card, and in a few moments there'll be an offering come by. If you want to put that in there or put it out to the front desk, that'd be wonderful. So church hostess families, now they know what we're going to do. Will you come and bring the bread? And they're going to turn around and walk through the auditorium. And all of our guests, or you have people with you, get their attention, and I want you to get the bread as they go ahead and proceed. Come on, make everybody feel very, very welcome. Come on. Come on, make everybody feel very welcome. Now, I'm going to do this pretty much by memory, so I hope I cover everything. But number one, ladies' Bible study, you've got one more night, Tuesday night, because of the foul weather, one night. So it's 6:30 Tuesday night, about a praying woman. You don't want to miss that. All the young families, that is people under the age of 45, if one partner is 45, it's okay, you come. But we've got plenty today. When this service is over, all young families. Now, you don't have to be married. You don't have to have children. If you're just in that age category of under 45, young adult age, Patty and I would like to invite you to a special lunch we're having. It's going to be a working lunch. It's going to be quick. And it's going to be in the fellowship hall. We have plenty provided for your children. We got our early childhood are going to be in one area. The teens are going to be at the edge. We got food for them. So we just want you to come. And so when the service is over, you don't have to be in a hurry, because I'm not going to be in a hurry. But we get down there together. We're going to share together. Even if you didn't sign up, we've got plenty. I'd like for you to come. All right? So young families, don't miss it today. Some say, well, you know, you shouldn't have done that on a time change day with young families. Well, it's been a time change all their life anyway. Today's no new day.
So that's what we're doing. And so we want to get this together. There's a lot of other things that are happening next Sunday. They're going to be a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, and a Monday night. Robbie Mitchell, I've asked him to return for special services, 5:30 Sunday night, 6:30 on Monday night. So get ready for that. I think it's going to be a great time. Invite everybody. Get on your social media. Tell everybody you possibly can about that. Easter's coming. Choir is today at 3 and Wednesday night. If you haven't joined, Wednesday night's also after services choir. That all is in the Edge. If you haven't joined us, do so. We need your help. It's going to be a great time together. Finally, I hope I've covered things I want to. If not, you'll figure it out as you get on the website and see the other material. We want to give many of you have asked about William Harrison William. You know, if we're going to do a shower for Ryan and Whitney and him or something like that, and you know, just you know what we're going to do is we've done this a little bit different, but it's okay. Many of you have already, you don't have to get anything, but we want to have a special day that you can just meet and greet Harrison. And so what we're going to do is not two Sundays from now, on the 26th, after the morning service, they're going to be in the hospitality area, room 206 out front, if you'd like to come by and greet and meet Harrison William. Then he will be there. He'll bring his parents that day, all right? And so if you haven't got to meet him, then we'd love for you to do that. And if you don't have to get a gift, but some have asked. And so since some have asked, they are registered at Target, Target, and Amazon. All right? And so you don't have to do that. But if you want to, thank you so much. So I'm ready for the Word of God. Anybody ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
You know, we're going to give to God. You know, there's a lot of ways we could do this. You know, I know some churches, they do it out in the foyer. We have kiosks out there and all that. A lot happens online. But there is something specific in the Word of God about bringing your offerings to the Lord. And this is worship. And the more you see it about worship, the more meaningful it's going to be in your life. And just say, hey, I'm giving some money. The more you see it as worship, And the multiplied miracles that are on that, and what God will do in your life besides finances and your value system and your creativity. There's so much the Spirit of God will do for you there. So I just want to encourage you. I gave at 9 o'clock, I gave a scripture to the prayer group there. It's in 1 Samuel 14. And Jonathan, you need to look it up sometime. Jonathan says to his armor bearer, you know, let's go over to these Philistines. He calls them uncircumcised. I mean, let's go over to these guys and let's show ourselves to them. And perhaps God will do something. Everybody say, perhaps God. There was only two of them because Jonathan prophesied to his armor bearer and he said, God can deliver either by many or by a few. So in other words, it doesn't mean how many of us are of us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so the armor bearer was a man of God. You want your armor bearer to be a man of God. And he said, do everything you got in your heart. I am with you. He said, all right, let's do it. He said, what we'll do is we'll show ourselves to them. And if they tell us, stay there, we'll come to you, then we need to stay put. But if they say to us, show ourselves, and that's a sign God has delivered them into our hand. Remember, there's only two of them. They get out there and they yell at them. And Philistines say back to them, yeah, come and get us. We're going to show you a lesson. And he said to his armor bearer, Jonathan, that's our sign. When they showed themselves, no telling what those Philistines saw. Because one of them said to the other one, look, they're crawling out of their holes. In other words, they saw more of them than just the two.
Jesus.
And Scripture says that Jonathan ran toward them. It says that as he ran toward them, they fell.
And when they fell, the armor bearer behind him, I told the prayer group, this is better than a video game. The armor bearer behind them killed them all. Jesus. And the scripture says that within a, was it a half acre area? Within a half acre area there, in other words, about the size of the lot that your home is on, that those two guys killed 20 of the enemy. Jesus. I'm going to tell you, perhaps God. Your mind is always so full of the what ifs. Well, what if we do this? Well, what if this doesn't happen? What if this doesn't happen? Well, what if God does something?
Jesus.
Amen. Get out there somewhere and do something for God, because what if God does something supernatural? So some of you say, well, I can't give that because what if I'm going to need it? Well, what if God does something with it? What if God does a miracle? Hallelujah. Could this be the week your house is paid off? A couple of you saying, well, you don't know how much I owe. No, I don't. But God does. Could this be the week that you get an increase? Yes. One of you want it, two of you, three of you, four of you, five of you. Some of you don't need an increase, do you? You got so much you can't stand it all. Amen. I praise God for you. You're going to be the ones that pay this ministry center off this week. Heavenly Father, right now, I know your word is upon us, your word is in us, and your word is through us. So may we think the way you think. Hallelujah. And perhaps you will do something greater than what we can even imagine. So now I bless every business. I call for 10% of the revenue of this region, of this city, of this county, of Central Arkansas, into your kingdom, so we can do great and mighty things for you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you give. If you want to give by a debit card, credit card, center, you do that. We're going to have the preaching of the word here, but as we do that, as we get ready, I've asked Ryan to minister today, and we've been on this resurrected man. I'd like for you to get your spirit now back into that expectation. Would you worship with us for a moment? We don't normally do this, but here's a recorded worship song. I would like for you just to worship with. If you want to stand, you want to raise your hand, whatever you want to do, but I want you to worship with us for a few minutes. Come on. Let's do that with him. Let's just stand and worship for a moment.
Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands and worship right here. You know he's victorious. Come on, keep it playing. It's not over yet, y'all. I'm just trying to help him out. Come on, y'all. Raise your hands up and worship Jesus in this place. He is victorious. You are resurrected. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Just say that. All praise will rise. Your name is victory. Come on, sing it out. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. You know the words now. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. That's it one more time. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Yeah, come on, give him a praise in this place. Hallelujah. Come on, tell somebody beside you that you are a resurrected man. Come on, tell somebody beside you. Give him a high five. Give him a handshake. Tell him you're a resurrected man. And take your seat. Look, man, you got to learn to worship anytime, anywhere, anyway, anyhow. You may need to break down and worship in Walmart. You may need to break down and worship in your car, you know, with the radio up. I have my best worship on my own a lot of times with tracks like that. Or I know Pastor talks about how he worships God on his horse. And you know, I may worship God on the golf course. But you got to learn to worship God anywhere, anytime. The Bible talks about a song in your heart. And that song's just been in my heart. And after Pastor delivered that word last week about the resurrected man, I just wanted to declare that into the atmosphere, that your name is now victory because you are now a resurrected man. How many of you know that you used to be a rejected man, but now you're a resurrected man? Y'all didn't catch that. Maybe you didn't feel like you used to be a rejected man, but I know that once I was lost, but now I am found. That I used to be rejected, but now I am accepted. And because I am accepted, I've been resurrected. Amen? You are a resurrected man. Amen. Because of your sin, you were rejected. Because of your failure, because you weren't washed in the blood, you were rejected. But Jesus came to the earth and he died. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He truly was nailed to the cross. He truly did have his beard ripped from his face. He truly was whipped with a whip that had glass and bone and all kinds of stuff in it that ripped his flesh from his body. The Bible says that he wasn't even recognized as a man. The Passion of the Christ can't even do it justice. And then he was crucified. He was stabbed in the side, right? You guys know the story. Easter's coming. He was dead, but he rose again. And when he rose again, church, everything changed. Your life changes today because Jesus is alive on the inside of you. Amen. Your life has changed today because Jesus is alive on the inside of you. And if you don't have any other reason to celebrate today, you should get fired up and be excited because you used to be a rejected man, but now you are a resurrected man. You used to not be able to draw near to Jesus because of the sin and the filth and the grossness of your existence. But he chose to save you whether or not you would ever choose him or not. The Bible says that you were dead in your trespasses and sin. And while you were still yet a sinner, he chose to save you. For the agnostic and the atheist and the Buddhist and the Hindu, he still chose to die for them. Before you ever chose him, he chose you. Before you ever thought about being a Christian and surrendering your life to Jesus, he chose you. That's a powerful thing. We love him today because he first loved us. The Bible says in Psalm 32, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven. I don't know about you, But there's moments in my life where I have been disobedient. Anybody else? Maybe y'all are all just goody two-shoes and saints and just all that. You were saved in the womb. You never sinned. You never said a bad word when you stubbed your toe, right? I mean, some of y'all, if we were to pass this microphone, your testimony, we would have to edit it, right? Because of what you used to live, the way your life used to look. But you're a resurrected man. And that should bring joy to your soul today. It doesn't matter what the stock market does. It doesn't matter what the weather does. Look, if it snows on spring break and you don't like snow, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the Cowboys win or lose. Look, we all know they need prayer. It doesn't matter what the Razorbacks do. They got lucky yesterday and beat Vanderbilt. We're going to see what happens in the next game. But because you've been forgiven, you should have joy. Because you have been washed clean, because you were dead and now you are alive, you should have joy. Because you used to be rejected and now you are accepted, you should never have a down day. You may have a down moment, but it shouldn't last very long because you need to tell the enemy, I know that's who you're trying to tell me I am, but I know who I am in Christ. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy upon me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sin to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me! Exclamation point. And all my guilt is gone. If you don't praise God right now because all your guilt is gone, then you must not have been guilty like I was guilty. Amen? Come on, man. You got to praise Him for that. Your relationship with Jesus should be a relationship of joy. If you came into this place today feeling a heaviness when you tried to enter into His presence, that's not from God. If you came into the place of prayer this week after you failed and did the thing you said you wouldn't do and you just didn't feel like you could come into His presence because you were dirty, that's not from God. Oftentimes we confuse condemnation with conviction. Condemnation separates you from God and leads to depression. But conviction draws you near to God and leads to joy. It's in your moment of greatest failure that you need God the most. But the enemy tries to tell us in those moments of failure, when you know you're resurrected, but the old man is trying to make a comeback, and you fail, and you fall, and you stumble. The righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. That it's in that moment that the enemy tries to put that distance, that space between you and God. Anybody ever been there where you just blew it, and you felt like, man, I can't even pray, right? In that moment, like the prodigal son, he found himself in the moment of just rock bottom. I heard an old country preacher say it yesterday. They were so far down, they had to reach up to top the bottom. Touch the bottom, you know what I mean? All these sayings, I love it. Anybody ever heard that before? So far down, you had to reach up to touch bottom? Anybody been there before? The thing you said you'd never do, the thing you went to the altar for and asked forgiveness for and just told the Lord, God, I'll never do it again. Forgive me right now. I'll never do it again. You do it again. Your flesh rises up. You do it again. And then you find yourself in this moment of, man, I can't come to God. Look at me. That's the devil trying to talk to you. That's the enemy trying to accuse you. The Bible says that he is the accuser of the brethren. That he will try to talk you into the idea that because you accepted Jesus and you became a resurrected man, but then you went back to the old man. There's no way you can go back to the Father now. But when the prodigal son told his dad, I wish you were dead, give me my inheritance now, and went and just lived it up, did everything that was in his flesh to do, not in his heart to do, but in his flesh to do. The Bible says that he spent his inheritance on wild living. Did it all, man. If we were to script that out today, we would definitely have to edit that. We have this misconception that in the Bible days, they didn't do stuff as bad as we do now. Son, it was bad. Read the Bible. There was some serious, weird, gross stuff that happened in that day. Just like there is now. We just get to communicate it to the world because of our communication devices and stuff like that. But the Bible says that he had spent himself on all of that. He was in the pig's pen. You guys know the story. He was going to eat the stuff that goes on the corn on the cob. Not the corn. The stuff that goes around it. The husk, right? He was going to eat that. He was laying in the slot with the pigs. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you're a city person. But have you ever been around pigs in their pig pen? Or even been close to, you can be driving down the interstate and drive next to a truck that's got those pigs in it and think that somebody in your car just had a problem, right? He was living in that, and the Bible says that he came to himself. All of a sudden, the grace of God opened up his mind and opened up his heart, and he said, even the servants in my father's house live better than this. He said, what if I could just go home and ask my father if I could be a servant? And sometimes we have that servant mentality. What if I can just crawl on my face back to God and say, maybe will you accept me just one more time? Realize you are a son. Realize that you have been adopted into the family, that you are a son. I heard it this way this week. I was driving down the road listening to Joel Osteen radio, and God spoke to me, man. So powerful. If y'all hate on Joel Osteen, you better repent. You better be careful when you speak about any minister. We're too quick to criticize and be critical of people that we don't even have a relationship with. Don't speak into somebody or about somebody that you don't know. Just because you heard it on the internet doesn't mean it's truth. Just because some dude that knows how to work a computer got on there and blasted his opinion doesn't make it truth. And God's going to judge you, not him, for how you've judged him. It's a whole other message. But I was driving on the road, and he was talking about relating to God as Father. And he said that, you know, and Joel Osteen's just, man, so smooth southern voice, y'all. You know, he said, if my son climbed the tree that I told him not to climb, told him never climb that tree, and fell out of the tree and broke his leg and cried for me to come help him, am I going to stop and say, now, son, let me check. Did you clean your room this week? Did you obey everything I said to obey this week? Did you do everything that I asked you to do this week? Or am I just going to run and save him and love him because he is my son and I love him and I'm always there for his rescue because I'm a good father and he is a son and I love him? Whew. Powerful. Just because you blow it doesn't mean your name has changed. Just because I want Harrison to sleep at night and it gets frustrating sometimes when he's six weeks old and he can't tell me what's wrong with him and he's just crying, you know, it's like, it doesn't mean that I don't love him and his name's not Harrison William Long, that he's still my son. Just because you messed up yesterday and blew it, the enemy will try to tell you you failed, you can't come back to the Father. It's not truth. You're a resurrected man. Amen. It's in your greatest hour of sin that you need most to draw near to Jesus. I want to go through a couple scriptures here very quickly, and then we're just going to pray. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. How many of you are in Christ today? The old has gone. This is such a familiar scripture, but sometimes we quote it and don't realize what we're saying. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Basically, I'm just tacking on to what Pastor preached last week. You got to go back and listen to last week because it is a life changer. It is foundational truth for your life that you are a resurrected man. And Jesus died on the cross for us and ministered to us reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean? It means that he made you right. He made it right for you to come into relationship with him. So every barrier, every sin that you have committed and ever will commit, Jesus has taken care of on the cross so that you can draw near to him. His ultimate desire for you is that you would draw near to him, that you would be close to him. You used to live a certain way, But when you came into a relationship with Jesus, everything changed. How many of you come from a past that was just a nasty past? Let me see your hand. Some of us not. I mean, like, dude, I was raised in church. Let's be honest. I wasn't out there on the streets and in the gangs and, right? You know, like, some of you guys, your testimony, it just blows my mind. We heard so many testimonies as we were in at the Dream Center in L.A. of people that were on Skid Row, living in Skid Row, white supremacists, and had he had tattoos all over his body, man. Quentin was there. He was addicted to drugs, and he was going back with us 2 years later to minister to people on the same streets that he was living on. When you get saved, everything is new. Understand, when you give your life to Christ, everything is new. You don't think like you used to think. That's why when people that are nasty, I'm talking about you think they could never get saved, have an encounter with God, they completely change. Their countenance is different. Their language is different. The way their aura about them, their spirit is different. It's because everything now is changed. They have been born again. Behold, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. So when you get saved, man, when you really become a resurrected man, you look different. You sound different. You hear different. The stuff that you used to watch on TV that didn't bother you, you flip the channel and you're like, oh, man, what? That's gross. Let me turn that off, right? Because you're a resurrected man. The old life that you used to live was a life driven by the flesh. But the new life that you live now that you are a resurrected man is a life driven by the Spirit. In other words, like the battery that ran the car before was the flesh. What your flesh said to do, you did. Well, if your flesh wanted adultery, you did it. If your flesh wanted to be drunk, you did it. If your flesh wanted to lie, cheat, and steal, you did it. But now that you are alive in the Spirit, you are driven by the Spirit. So if the Spirit says, go to church at 5:30 a.m. on Tuesday and pray, you go. If the Spirit says, you used to desire that, but now you don't desire that anymore, avoid that, you avoid that. Because you are now driven by the Spirit, not driven by the flesh. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. If you are ever wondering about your life, am I driven more by the flesh or am I driven more by the Spirit? This is the litmus test for you. But when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. Those are all obvious, right? But check this out. Quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, being selfish, dissension, division, envy. Then we get into the more obvious stuff, right? Drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins. So what you do then is you say, am I in a place of just being selfish all the time? And if you are, then you understand that doesn't come from God. And so you judge your life according to, if I'm living in a place of just angry all the time, if you break stuff and you throw stuff and you punch walls, you're being driven by your flesh. That's not from the Spirit of God. That's not the resurrected man. That's the man that was buried and dead with Christ, trying to make a comeback. Just like the Patriots made a comeback in the Super Bowl, right? Somebody shouted right there. I hadn't shouted the whole service and shouted right there. And so we have to do that. We have to say, am I envious? The Bible says it's very clear what your life produces when you are driven by the old man and by the flesh is very clear. You don't have to wonder. You look and you judge your life and you say, if I'm living in a place of sexual immorality, I am not being driven by the resurrected man. I'm being driven by the flesh. I'm being driven by the thing that Christ already conquered and paid for. He goes on to talk about how that the Spirit produces the fruits of the Spirit. But for the sake of time, you guys know the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, all that stuff. That's what the Spirit of God produces in you. Let me throw this at you. When Jesus walked on the earth, he stripped himself completely of divinity and was fully a man. How many of you believe that today? Absolutely. So when Jesus lived a sinless life and performed the miracles he performed, did he do it acting as God? Or did he do it acting as a man full of the Holy Spirit? He did it as a man being full of the Holy Spirit. So the same power that empowered Jesus to live the life that he lived is now the same power that empowers you to live your life as the resurrected man. So Jesus lived sinless, not because he was God, but because he was a man filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you can live sinless, not because you're God, but because you are a man filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that empowered Jesus to walk on water and heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the leper is the same power that is alive on the inside of you. So why do we settle for less? Because we allow the enemy to convince us. When the enemy tells you anything, you can guarantee it's a lie. Because that's all he speaks. That's all he can speak. He has no capacity to speak truth. When he speaks his native tongue, it is a lie. Just like you speak English, he speaks lies. Just like a Hispanic person speaks Spanish, he speaks lies. And so it's the enemy that would try to convince you that because you live on this earth and because you are flesh man, that you will live a life of sin. But that was the old man. Before, that was the case. But when you had an intersection with Jesus, when you came and you laid your face on this altar and you said, God, come in and I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord and Savior. I will live my life for you. Wash me clean. Deliver me. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new. All of a sudden, everything changed and you became a resurrected man. And the game changes when you're a resurrected man. The way you relate to sin changes when you're a resurrected man. The way you relate to sickness changes when you're a resurrected man. Pastor covered this so well last week. The way you relate to the world around you changes when you are a resurrected man. Because your flesh man used to be driven by the flesh, but now your spirit man, your resurrected man, is driven by the Spirit. It's the thing that empowers your existence now. As a resurrected man. Romans 6 says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Don't allow something to enslave you that Christ has stripped of its power. It's like getting into the ring with, like if I got into a boxing ring with Muhammad Ali and I beat him, then y'all know he threw the fight. Let's be honest, right? If I got into the fight with whoever whoever your favorite MMA fighter is, I don't really watch that stuff, but the only person I really know is Conor McGregor. If I got in a ring with Conor McGregor, that dude is going to whip me. Let's be honest about it, right? I mean, and it's the same thing with us allowing sin in our life. He's already been defeated. When Jesus died on the cross, he ripped sin of its power. The Bible says that he defeated it once and for all. And so if he has defeated it once and for all, why are you allowing it to defeat you? If he has conquered it once and for all, why do we buy into the lie that we have to keep it alive? What we do is we empower something that deserves no power. We empower something that has no power. It's like a dog that's been on a chain and a leash. Y'all have seen this, right? A dog has lived on a chain and a leash. You know, he's got his collar on and he's chained up and he can run so far and then the chain snaps him, right? And he falls back and makes all kinds of weird noises. And he's like, oh, it's so sad, the dog, right? Y'all seen that, right? Some of y'all don't. I know some of y'all did. Y'all went over to that dog and y'all ran right close to him, then you ran over here so he could run away from you. And then when he got to the end of his chain, it was like this. And you laughed at it. Don't lie. But then what happens when you take that chain off that dog? A lot of times, he still won't go past that place where he was once chained. Because in his mind, he believes that he is still bound by the thing that used to bind him. And sometimes as believers, we don't fully lay hold of the fact that we are resurrected men. We are resurrected men and women of God. The thing that used to bind us doesn't bind us anymore. The only reason, the only way that it can is if we allow it to have power over us. Understand, the only way the old man can ever have power over you is if you let it. Because Christ conquered it once and for all. The chapter continues to say, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Somebody say amen. You used to be a rejected man, but now you are a resurrected man. I think what happens to us a lot of times, Brother Otis, you can come and help, is that we find ourselves buying into ideas and truths that we, things that actually we think are truths that are not truths. Because we haven't fully laid hold of everything that Christ did in his atoning work on the cross. The atoning work of Christ on the cross, now imputed to you, does way more for you than you think it does. The power of what he did on that cross was enough to change eternity. The Bible says that in Hebrews that he was the sacrifice for sin once and for all. That sin, death, hell, the grave, all of that was defeated. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What he has done for you, not only has he freed you for an eternity, but he paid enough. He paid enough for you to exist and live on this earth way better than you're living. He didn't pay for you to struggle. Come on. He didn't pay for you to wrestle with a pattern of sin and a thing that would try to depress you. Jesus, when he saved you, didn't want you to live a life fighting a battle your whole time on earth. He did enough to conquer all that so that you wouldn't have to continually battle. He defeated it once and for all, and we struggle with these, sometimes these issues of sin and these things that we think, man, I just can't get over this. Like, man, this is a generational curse, and I've lived with this for so long, and I've struggled with it for so long, and man, I just don't know that I'm ever going to get over this. Anybody ever said that or heard somebody say that? That it's just normal for a man to struggle with lust. It's just normal for a woman, a young lady to have low self-esteem. It's just normal for me to deal with drunkenness and a desire for alcohol because my grandpa was an alcoholic and my great-grandfather was an alcoholic. That's not truth. Glory to God. I'm just going to have cancer because my mom had cancer and my grandma had cancer and my great-grandma had cancer and it runs in my family. You're a new creation. It doesn't run in your family anymore. You have a new family. You have a new name. You have a new inheritance. You have a new family line. And so what we have to do is detach ourselves from the lie that sin has power over us and attach ourselves to the truth that Jesus paid once and for all to you, for you to live a life of freedom so that when you encounter Jesus, it is absolutely possible for you to live a sinless life the rest of your life on earth. Seriously? Yeah. Because the same power that empowered Jesus to live a sinless life is the same power that now empowers you as a believer. That's big, man. Everything Jesus did on the earth, he didn't do it because he was God. He was fully man. But he was a man fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. Smith Wigglesworth used to say that the world is yet to see. What can happen with a man fully surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit.
Wow. Wow.
I wonder what your life would look like as a man and a woman fully surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder what Conway, Arkansas would look like if we live lives fully surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the work of Jesus and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the resurrected man is the only man that should ever be alive. The new man, the new creation. It's a tragic thing for us to keep something alive that Jesus put to death. And when we choose to allow our flesh to grow and be strong in our life, we keep something alive. It's like a lifeline. It's like you took a person, you put them in a grave, you put them in a coffin, you buried them 6 feet under, but you fed them an IV and an oxygen line to keep them alive. So they're buried, they're under the ground, they're in their coffin, they're in their grave, but you're feeding them a lifeline.
Wow. Wow.
You got to cut that thing off, man, and realize, I am a new creation. I don't have to battle with the stuff that I've always battled with. And maybe you say, well, I prayed and I came to the altar and I gave my life to Jesus and I know I'm saved, but I'm still battling with this stuff. This truth that Pastor preached last week and this truth today can change all of that.
Come on.
Because oftentimes, just because we've prayed a prayer and been saved doesn't mean that we've laid hold of everything that Jesus has done for us. Sometimes we just don't know yet. Sometimes that truth hasn't been a revelation to us. Understand today that you are a new creation. You are a resurrected man. You're not a rejected man anymore. You've been accepted. And with that comes the empowerment to stop the struggle. You hear people say a lot of times, you know, in conversations these days, you know, the struggle is real. The struggle's not real. The struggle used to be real. And then Jesus conquered the struggle. And so what we have to do is lay hold of everything that Jesus has done for us and realize that we are resurrected men and women of God. And the thing that we've always struggled with, we don't have to struggle with anymore. The thing that tries to plague our lives has been dead and buried with Christ. And we are new creation. When the enemy tries to come and tell you, just like prodigal son tried to buy into the lie, I can't go back to my father's house. Oftentimes we find ourselves in that moment, right? I know I'm a son. I know I've given my life to Christ, but I've blown it, and I've gone way over here. And man, that thing that I said I would never do, I fed my flesh. Listen, whatever you feed is going to grow. If you feed your flesh is going to grow. If you feed your spirit's going to grow. If you don't come to the house of God and worship with believers, your flesh is going to grow. God designed it for you to be connected to the body of Christ and come into this church on Sundays and Wednesdays. I had a young man tell me this week that he didn't have to come to church, that he just needed to be connected to the body and have fellowship with believers outside of the church. That's wrong. You can point to people's lives and see their decline when they quit coming and sitting in these chairs and being a part of this gathering and this spiritual atmosphere. God said, don't be like other people who neglect coming together. Get up in the church house. Commit to being a part of the body of Christ. Commit to feeding your spirit, not feeding your flesh. That may mean you don't watch TV as much as you used to watch TV. That may mean you listen to different music. That may mean you choose different friends. But that's what the resurrected man does, because he's driven by the Spirit, not driven by the flesh. Your desires change. The things you crave change.
Yes.
You find yourself craving moments in the presence of God instead of craving Saturday Night Live. You find yourself craving that fullness of his presence instead of going to the club. Right? This is real talk, man. Dude was in the pig slot, man, at the lowest of the low, so low that he had to reach up to touch bottom. The Bible says he came to himself and he realized, even the servants in my father's house live better than this. And I can just imagine him. We do the same thing, right? We're going to come back to God. We get our prayer together. I'm about to pray this prayer. It's going to be the best forgiveness prayer I've ever prayed. It's going to be the best repentance I've ever done, right? And you get holy and you get the scripture and you quote it and you get ready. And just like the young man, he started thinking, you know, I can go back to my father's house. I'll tell him, look, Dad, I'm so sorry. I realize I blew it. I realize that, man, I've messed up. I don't want you to reestablish my status as son like he ever lost it. I just want you to let me be a servant. And so the son, I can see him coming down the road, nervous, thinking, man, I hope I got this speech right. I hope I can say this well enough that my dad will forgive me. I hope I can say this good enough that he'll just take me back and accept me. And he's coming down the road, and then he sees this thing and this figure in the distance coming at him with a cloud of dust, running after him, like Ezekiel Elliott about to run into the end zone. Feed me, right? Running down the road. The son, with his head down, wondering, is my dad going to accept me? Is he going to love me? And the father runs down the road, and the son starts to give his speech. Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. And before he can even get it out of his mouth, the father just embraces him and says, come home, son. Don't even have to say what you were going to say. Just come home. You're a son. You're a resurrected man. That stuff that you tried to give power in your life, it doesn't have any power because I paid for it and I defeated it. Just come home and be a son. I celebrate you. I love you. I want you. I will not discard you. I will not throw you away. I paid for you. I love you. Don't give the old man any more power than he deserves. And you know how much he deserves? None. Don't give that flesh any more power than it deserves. It deserves none. Jesus paid to conquer it all. And today, you are a son. You are a resurrected man. And you live a life driven by the Spirit, not driven by the flesh. Come on, just close your eyes and lift your hands with me. God, we thank you today that we are sons. We thank you today, God, that you have made us resurrected men. We thank you today, God, that because of Jesus, you have reconciled us unto you, that you have made a way for us to have relationship with you and to be near to you and to draw near to you, God. And so I pray today, where we've lived under the cloud of condemnation that comes from the enemy, that we would now transition into that place where maybe the Holy Spirit is convicting us only to draw us nearer to the only thing that can make us holy and make us righteous, and that is the blood of Jesus. And so I pray today, as resurrected men and as resurrected women, that we would never allow the enemy to have power and place in our life where Jesus, you have already paid to strip the power of sin and of death and the grave. But I pray today that we would not be a slave to sin, that we would be a slave to righteousness, that we would not be a slave to things that we try to keep alive. Because we have this misconception that it's okay for us to struggle, that maybe it's okay for us to live a sinless life because we're just men after all. We're just flesh after all. No, we are resurrected men that live lives full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we don't have to give in to sin. Because of that, we don't have to allow fleshly things to control our lives. We are men and women of God that are powered and empowered by the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that empowered Jesus empowers us to live this life as resurrected men. We thank you for this word today. And I pray that it would go deep and do a work in our heart and our spirit today. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. Just give the Lord a shout of praise today and thank him for his word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Would everybody stand with me? There is so many powerful things there. I don't want to add to. Here's what hit my spirit. Draw near and don't settle for less. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask everyone in this room, I'm going to pray with you and for you, that just simply want to alleviate sin completely out of your life. The sinful nature, not just the act of sin, but the sinful nature. The scripture that ties to this is that we are partakers of the divine nature. And I've never heard what I heard in my spirit today. A lot of times we hear the thing that when we fail, well, I'm not perfect. But I'm made perfect by the blood of the Lamb. And today my expectation has been lifted. Today I'm putting a new goal into my life. And here it is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, listen to this. By the power of the Holy Spirit, with the armor of God on me, that I will not sin from now until the coming of the Lord. Jesus. Maybe we've never even put that expectation on ourselves. We just have an expectation that we're going to sin. But may all of us have an expectation right now. Make a resolve. We have all sinned in the past and come short of the glory of God. But there's no reason why we have to keep doing that. That's what hit my spirit. I don't have to keep coming short of the glory of God. Today, I am a partaker of the divine nature, not the sinful nature. So would you pray with me right now? Those of you that would like to, we're crucifying that sinful nature. Just raise your hand with me if you want in on the prayer. Come on, just raise your hand with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take full agreement that from now until our going or your coming, that we will live under your blood, under your armor, under your direction, under your power, under your authority, and never again engage in the deceit of the lust of corrupted nature to ever act on sin again. Today, we crucify the sinful nature and lift up an expectation to live fully and completely for you all the days of our life. Everyone with me right now, repeat this prayer out loud. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess all my sin. Ask you to forgive me now. Wash me clean with your blood and by the empowerment, the indwelling, the living in of your Holy Spirit completely in me. My mind, my body, my imagination, that I will never again sin in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, you ought to give him glory for that. I mean, that's huge. That's huge. They're gonna begin to sing, and as we do that, you might want to spend more time up here praying over that. Now, I wrote down so many things that is huge, because we are. He took that another level today of that divine nature. We are partakers. 2 Peter 1 tells you of that divine nature. And so that's huge. Wow, what a way. You know, the last thing I want to say is I am hungry for something I've never had. I've got unusual hunger pains spiritually. I've got unusual hunger pains. I mean, these Holy Spirit's been leading me. I want to. There's something I want in Him that I've never had. And I'm going to put that on you for this week. Unusual spiritual appetite. Raise your hand if you want that. Come on. I declare over every one of us, unusual spiritual appetite. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say out loud, feed me, Lord. That's what he's going to do. But some of you, you might want to say, well, after Ryan gave that word, you might want him to agree with you in prayer. If you want special prayer for anything, then we'll hang out up here and say, they begin to minister, and we want to come and we want to pray with you and agree with you. And look, friends, I just feel right now an unusual anointing on Wednesday night. For the youth and for here, an unusual anointing. I just believe we're gonna need to pray together and pray for one another. And I believe an unusual release of supernatural. And so whatever you do, get back here on Wednesday night. Young families, you can go to Fellowship Hall. If anybody you want to keep praying, you want special prayer, you come on up here. Ryan, thank you for that. No longer, in the name of Jesus, no longer is any spirit of rejection on anybody. The resurrection is here in your name. Everybody just give praise to God. Come on, give him great big praise. Give him great big praise. Amen. As he goes ahead and leads out, come on, if you want special prayer, you come on up here right now. Ryan and I will pray with you. If you're going to fellowship, you do that. You want to go to the fellowship hall and join us, you do that. God bless you all. Ryan, you want to come help us?
Help me know you are near. Oh, 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 you're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I. Thank you.